Well, let me throw a couple of thoughts at you real quick.
Sock it to me, baby. Sock it to me.
It's this. And there are still four teams that are waiting to play their third game of the season. So things will change slightly on this. The Browns, statistically, through three games, are second to last in the NFL in total yardage. They are 30th in passing yards per game. Okay?
Okay.
They're 30th in passing yards per game. Yet, they have the third most pass attempts in the NFL. They have the third worst completion percentage in the NFL. They have the worst yards per attempt, passing attempt, in the NFL. Dead last. They have the third worst yards per game passing in the NFL. They've been sacked more times than any team in the NFL. And as a team, they have the fourth worst passer rating. So, third worst completion percentage, worst yards per attempt, third worst yards per game, most sacks, and fourth worst passer rating, yet they've attempted the third most pass attempts in the NFL.
You know what this all spells?
Andy, oh, go Andy, ahead. Yep. What does... Can you see it? I see it. What the heck is that all about? We don't do this very well, so by God, let's do it more than anybody. And sorry, game script doesn't work. They had 7 yards rushing in the first half yesterday.
Why? Then
they came back and ran the ball much better in the second half and almost had a chance to win the game. You got back into the game by running the ball.
Jeff, their first scoring drive script was absolutely perfect. One for one, touchdown. I don't know what more could you ask for. It was outstanding. You know, who needs 16 plays?
You don't do it well. So let's do it more than almost anybody else in the league.
Are we waiting for week 5 then? Is that what you're saying? Are you waiting for Nick Chubb in
week 5? No, I don't think you have to. I've been a big defender of Kevin Stefanski. The man's a 2-time coach of the year. I think he's done a very good job here. I thought they called a terrible game yesterday. The passing game's not working and you're passing. What are you doing? That's not... Deshaun Watson threw it 37 times yesterday. They ran the ball with their running backs 12 times yesterday. The Giants ran it 32 times. Now, okay, yep, they did have a 21-7 lead. But they also threw it 34 times. And Daniel Jones was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yep.
And it's funny because I wrote this down, and then Menigan said it this morning when we were chatting on the phone. They don't have an identity. Or they don't want to embrace the identity that they clearly have, which is a running team, even without Nick Chubb. I mean, Deonte Foreman can run the ball. Jerome Ford can run the ball.
Are you trying to say you're a running team with Deshaun Watson? Is Deshaun Watson considered a runner
And
there?
That, Andy, is why are you trying to make this work and make the team a passing team because you're spending so much money on the quarterback because you changed offensive coordinators. What are you trying to do? Square peg, meet round hole.
You have two missing elements, though, and I don't know if this plays into your identity theory or not. You don't have David Njoku. You don't have Nick Chubb. How much does that change things? You don't have a left tackle. You don't really have a right tackle. Your interior offensive line suddenly looks old, and I didn't want to admit that until today. I just suddenly looks like maybe I don't know how many snaps are left. You know what I'm saying? Like these guys, that line looked just bad yesterday. And I know guys are out of position.
They did not play well.
No. DeJuan Jones, he's got to be dizzy from having to turn around as many times as he did yesterday and just straight out missing blocks. You got one guy in front of you. You got two. Okay, should I take one of these guys? Well, what am I doing? There were too many plays where the offensive line looked like, what am I doing?
Hard pill to swallow. I don't get it.
I think people want to vent on a Browns Therapy Monday.
I think they do, too. I just laid some things out for you there. They're clearly one of the worst passing teams in the NFL. but they've thrown more passes than all but two teams in the NFL. Let that sink in. Mike's in Hudson. Mike.
Hey, Mike.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Somber.
Called you yesterday after the game.
Yes, you did.
One of the questions you answered for me today, 8 sacks, 6 in the first half. Pass blocking was better when we ran in the second half, which you just brought up. But the play calling, Stefanski has not had 3 games in a row of good play calling. And the stats you just gave, Jeff,
they're scary, aren't they, Mike? They're scary.
No, it's past scary. The fans are so disappointed. But now we're going to 2 must-win games. We have to win in Vegas. We have to win in Washington. We can't be going 2-4 to start the season.
No.
Especially with all the division games coming up right at home. Hate to say it, being a season ticket holder for 40-some years, wow, it's going to be ugly in October if we don't win the next 2 games. So,
Mike, thank you very much.
I'll listen to you guys.
All right, Mike, thank you. Can I give you the realistic thing that doesn't play real well today?
Sure, go ahead.
The offensive line is injured. It's beat up. They're trying to figure that out. The quarterback is back after missing a ton of the season last year, the latter part of the season. You have a new offensive coordinator. You have a new line coach, and they're 1-2 after only 3 games. That's the reality. Okay, that's reality. It's only 3 games, and they are 1-2. It's not like they're 0-3. They're 1-2. And they've had some real issues. That's not an excuse. I don't want to hear that's an excuse. That's an absolute fact. But it doesn't play well today, Andy. That doesn't play well today. And I think part of the reason it doesn't play well is because some of those numbers I went over earlier. Joe's in Mayfield Heights. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, just real quick. When you were doing your pre-talking and everything, you brought up a good point about our offensive line.
Our pre-talking. I like that, Joe.
Yeah, I don't know what else to call it. Your synopsis or,
our thing, whatever that was. Yeah.
Cold open. It's all good.
So, listen, everybody's screaming about fire the offensive line coach because he sucks. I think the real question, and Jeff, you brought it up before, with the injuries we have, how come nobody's asking about our strength and conditioning coach / program, because these guys are going down like flies, and you just don't see this. I know injuries in the trenches are pretty common in the NFL, but you don't see the severity and it happening so much with the other teams, with their starters and stuff. And a good example is Wills. He comes back yesterday and plays, and he's out again. Was he even ready to be, playing again? We just don't.
Did he come back too soon? Is that what you're saying?
Pardon me?
You're saying, did he come back too soon?
Well, I think when he comes back, he had to be cleared by the coaches and the medical staff and your trainers and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that all falls under the guidance of the strength conditioning coach, I would think.
There's some team doctor stuff going on there, too.
Somebody in the know could call in and figure it out.
Joe, there's another finger that can be pointed here.
And doesn't pain threshold fall upon the patient, right? Doctors give you that smiley face chart and say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel? Point to the smiley face. I don't know that there's a medical procedure let you know how much pain you're in. Like I'm really wondering how much pain Myles Garrett's in right now. The fact that he told us last week that he, had to have surgery on both feet when he's been playing in pain for all that. Now you're like, oh man,
and he's gonna deal with it all season. Maybe he isn't now, Andy. We'll see. Ryan is with us. Hello, Ryan.
Rhino.
Andy, Jeff, gentlemen, want to do my weekly appointment? Step into your office, take my.
We're here, pal.
Just hang on. I need you to hop on the scale. We can charge more, and we can charge the insurance company more for doing that, too.
So. Where are you, by the way,
can
today?
We get some blood pressure on this kid, please?
I tell you, I'm in Amish town right now, man. I tell you, they must not have TVs. Well, they don't have TVs here because they're all up giddy and smiling in the morning with their horses and buggies, me driving my truck around working. But I can assure you, me today and you guys and everyone listening out there are not on the same page as that. this Browns from yesterday, just a conundrum, man. And Tillman, man, going back to Vegas, your hometown next week, man, wearing the dunce cap, buddy. You are right, all you individuals, and you guys included, who said you're professional. You catch that darn ball, man. I don't want to hear it's too low or too high or in the numbers or whatever it may be. This is a professional who's supposed to do it in crunch time. I don't care if there's butterflies in your stomach, fourth and five. This is a scenario where you get the job done. That's what they pay the big bucks for. With that being said, man, you alluded to, obviously, the offensive line. To be devil's advocate, you know, again, everyone's jumping on this, you know, blame the head, the offensive line coach. It's like, what? No, man, DeJuan Jones was just beat. He was beat like a drum, man. They just ran circles around him, like you alluded to, Andy. He was dizzy, and again, that's what he was. He's a big body, awesome, first guy off the bus. But, man, that big body's irrelevant if you can't stop that rush side defensive end or the weak side defensive end in front of you. And again, hats off to Lawrence, Dexter Lawrence. I don't know who that was. That was Warren Sapp impersonation yesterday, just destroying our middle of our offensive line. Things got to get right. The good news is, you said it, Jeff, this is week three. This is not week 16 or 17. These things can't get corrected. We have a whole season in front of us, man. Vegas is on the doorstep. Can't wait for that. Man, we just got to get this W next week and move forward. But, hey, guys, thanks for taking my weekly appointment. Have a great day.
You got it right. You'll be back in Vegas for the game?
I will be in Vegas. And I'm hopeful Michael Simon and a bunch of – and last thing on that one, man, football is supposed to be fun and entertainment, but a lot of individuals, even Raider fans, because I have a lot of family and friends still in Vegas, so I'm not going to that game either. My team lost too. I'm like, well, pump the brakes. Week three.
There you go.
Let's have some fun. This is not, you know, this is a sports, entertainment.
All right, Ryan.
Anyway, guys, thanks, Nick Merkel.
You got it, buddy.
I hope you've had a chance to already listen to it or watch it on YouTube. Of course, you know what we're talking about. Daryl Ryder and I have you covered. We're going to track the season episode by episode. Good, bad, ugly, everything in between on our podcast. It's always game day in Cleveland, including post-game drops after every game. We did it last night, and it was not a fun one to do. Subscribe to the podcast now, but it'll be fun for you to listen to. Subscribe to the podcast now at 92.3thefan.com, on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast, sponsored locally by our good friends at Smiley One and Bryant. Yep, Smiley One and Bryant. Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution.
That's Baskin. I'm Phelps. We're here on The Fan. It's a Browns Therapy Monday.
Were you making fun of me, or were you just laughing about something?
No, it wasn't you.
Okay.
Easy, Mr. Sensitivity.
I'm very sensitive today.
I don't want to say what it was, though. We get a lot of fun calls on the post-game show.
Oh, you do? Oh, so this is what you're talking about. Okay.
Jim called from Strongsville yesterday on the post-game show.
Oh, Jim.
Jim, I told Andy about your call and laughed. I said it was a great call. And now here you are again.
Jim said, was it about the haircut or was it?
It was about the haircut.
Yeah, you got the Phelps cut,
was,
huh?
It was funny. He said he got the Phelps cut when he went to get a haircut and he wasn't very happy.
So you got nothing left up there, huh?
I got plenty on the sides and in the back, Jim.
You keep telling yourself that,
I got plenty on the sides. I got nothing in the front.
You have nothing up front.
That's a professional cut.
There you go.
Okay, professional
cut. It's a fine haircut.
All right, talk Browns.
Jim, have you ever thought about just letting it go on? Sorry, Jim, I know you're holding there. Have you ever thought about just shaving the rest of it off or no? I'm just curious.
No.
Okay.
No.
Has anyone ever said, hey, why don't we see what this looks like if we...
No, I know what it looks like.
Oh, have you done it before or no?
Daddy Warbucks from Annie. That's what you look like. You look like Telly Savalas.
Well, it's the Van
Gundy. Who loves you, baby? We do. Let's see what it looks like. Just go for it once.
I will if you will.
I would do it in a minute. I almost did it a couple weeks ago.
You want to shave your head, Jim?
Not completely bald.
You want to shave your head completely bald? I will do it. Just to see you do it.
I don't know if
go
I can
ahead,
do
Jim.
It. I don't think
this
I can do
a
it.
This is a charity opportunity here.
I would do it for charity. I would do, in a minute. I would for Life Bank or Cystic Fibrosis. I would do it Foundation. I would do it.
Go, Jim.
So listen, Jeff. A lot of it's the same as last night, but I think this organization, from the coach to the front office, is so desperate. To prove that this Deshaun Watson deal was a good deal and worthwhile to do, that they are sacrificing games to do so. I know you guys, look, it's the quarterback. Yes, the line wasn't great. And I know you guys, you hear the boos on the, I don't know if you guys were in the stadium watching, you hear the boos.
I was
like,
there.
Oh, the fans are just whatever. Andy, you had the bird's eye view then. There were guys open. They weren't open long. They weren't open, whatever. That's why they were booing, because Deshaun Watson has zero feel. There is no feel for life.
I got to tell you, there were a lot of times that line collapsed really, really fast. Like, if you were, I mean, it was, there's just, most quarterbacks couldn't have pulled anything off in that. Much as I want to rip Deshaun, I can't. I just, there were too many other things that happened yesterday that, and there are parts of me that thought Deshaun maybe played a little bit better at times than we've seen.
Jim, did you hear the numbers I gave out at the beginning of the show early on about passing?
Yeah.
That backs up your point. Exactly. That backs up your point completely. You don't do it well, but why are you doing it? And Jim, you might have the perfect reason why you're trying to do it. You're trying to validate the whole thing.
They're quadrupling down on their bad. Like, I would have more respect for either one of them. More respect to say, hey, you know what? I brought the Steelers up yesterday. The Steelers don't care what they have to do to win. It might be the ugliest games you've ever watched, but guess what? They're 3-0.
Yep.
And that's what I want to see. I don't want to sacrifice regular season games for some long-term pride or some long-term win. I don't think the NFL works that way.
They carried the ball 7 times in the first half for 7 yards. And in the second half, they went to it a little bit more. 11 carries, they had 62 yards.
I hear the kids are wearing the Phelps these days. I'll talk to you later, boys.
That's fabulous.
It's true. I've heard that too.
You know who's wearing the Phelps? Anybody not by choice. Jerry's in St. Louis. Hello, Jerry.
Gary, but that's all right. How you doing, guys?
Sorry, Gary.
No worries. Okay. You know, I'm disappointed in yesterday. For me, the jury is still out on Deshaun Watson, but that's not where I want to go. There is something that really stood out. So a great performance by the team, and that was the end zone celebration after the interception that was called back for penalty. They need to do that every day. Well, darn time. Anyhow, that's all I got, guys.
All right, Jerry, thank you. Andy's not happy about that. All I'll say about it is this. Everybody complained when the NFL didn't allow celebrations. You're not letting players be themselves and express something in a very emotional game. You want them to go nuts and not celebrate and everything else. Then they lightened up on that, and now we have all these choreographed celebrations. Only thing I'll say, better make sure the penalty's not on you before you celebrate. How's that?
I mean, it's not every day you get a touching the passer call. That was a horrible call. The celebration drove me crazy because of the flag because at first when I saw it, because I couldn't see the whole play from where I was sitting, I thought that they had returned the interception for a touchdown, the way they were celebrating in the end zone, right?
Yeah, I know.
So I'm watching, I'm like, oh no. And then I saw the replay of the roughing the passer, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Instead of working on a choreographed celebration, perhaps they should have watched more Malik Nabers tape.
Oh.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Between that and the play at the end of the game, if they just would have had a timeout, they probably might have had the first down, too, on that. I at least asked for a new spot, because the spot of the ball late in that fourth quarter drive, that was brutal, too. I don't know. Maybe they just – I don't know. I can't blame the referees. We looked horrible yesterday.
Steven is in Lyndhurst. Steven, welcome to the show.
Steven!
Hey, gentlemen. Listen, Browns fans, if you're okay with not winning AFC titles and not going to any AFC championship games and just winning 10, 11 games a year, Kevin Stefanski is your guy. Okay? He's your guy. Now, yesterday, he got out-coached by one of the worst coaches, maybe the worst coach in the NFL. And it's unacceptable.
Daboll's former coach of the year.
Kevin Stefanski problem is, I played this game. He has a tremendous ego. That's why he will not give up the play calling. And I'm going to say this, and y'all going to probably criticize me for saying this, but it needs to be said. I don't think he cared for Deshaun Watson. I'm going to tell you why. Deshaun Watson was under so much rapid fire in that game, 95% of the time he was letting him throw the football, and he was taking an outright beating, a beating to the point where I honestly felt that he was going to seriously re-injure that surgically repaired shoulder again. And you did not commit yourself to the run, because anybody who plays organized sports knows you got to at least attempt to run the ball to set up the play-action pass to throw the ball downfield. I just feel like Kevin Stefanski is not the head coach to take this team where it needs to go. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Steven.
Steve, I had a question for him. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. No worry.
Steven, thank you. This team isn't passing the ball well, and they're passing it like crazy. And they run the ball fairly well, and they're not running it very much. I don't get that. I don't get it. And, again, I think Kevin's actually a good play caller. I know that's not a popular thought these days either.
2 weeks in a row, the first drive has scored a touchdown.
Andy's laughing. He thinks he's funny.
17 plays.
It was pretty funny. I got to give it to him.
Yeah, thank you. I guess we do. Chuck is in Shaker. Hello, Chuck.
Chuck.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
All right.
Yeah, Jeff, you brought up a good point about, you know, the Browns being a running team. And this is why I want to just say I got two quick points.
Embrace it, Chuck? Embrace it.
Yeah, right. But the thing is that goes to show you that we didn't really need Jerry Jeudy because, you know, it seems like Cooper's coming around now. And we had Tillman. I mean, you got to develop those guys some kind of way. You know, Bell, I know he got hurt. But still, you know, you could have went out and got a running back. You could have kept Kareem Hunt. You know, I see the Chiefs sign him. And I'm just waiting when he comes. When we face the Chiefs, I'm pretty sure they're going to let him loose on our defense. And then the second point I wanted to make is that Brissett call. I mean, after 2 weeks, looked like they would know that teams have watched films on that. So, I mean, that was just a dead giveaway. I knew that wasn't going to work. I mean, he keeps going to the well once too often. And that was not going to work. You know, I mean, you know, people get tired of just seeing the same thing. And the teams just say, hey, we know what this is about. He's going to take the ball, you know. So that I don't know why he keeps doing plays like that. I mean, you know, that's all.
All right, Chuck, thank you very much.
Just help me understand. He said that Brissett called me and Jameis Winston on 4th-and-1.
I think that's
how I'm understanding.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay.
Jacoby was good at that.
He was excellent.
Jameis is good at that.
And actually, you know what? Jacoby earned the right to have that play named after him.
Isn't it weird? I thought it was a little weird that you brought Jameis in on 3rd down for that. And you went for it on 3rd-and-1 with that. And then you went for it on 4th-and-1, but brought Deshaun back into the game.
I'm not crazy. He was in the shotgun on that play, too, wasn't he?
I don't know.
On that 4th-and-1, I think he was in the shotgun. Because I remember saying to myself, wait, they only have to go, and now we're making
it longer. And Deshaun was short. Now, Giants didn't score off of that. But it was weird, because in the fourth quarter, you had opportunities down by a touchdown. And Jerome Ford fumbled. Then you had that 4th down at the 4:03 mark on the clock, 4th-and-1, after Jameis didn't get it on 3rd-and-1. And then a 4th-and-5 at 2:28 to go. On the drop by Cedric Tillman. It was weird. Wayne's in Cleveland. Wayne?
Hey, good morning, Jeff and Andy.
Hey, hi, Wayne. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Doing all right. Yeah, I just got a couple things. I wanted to bring up, do you guys think, man, that they cleaned too much house? Actually, they cleaned up everything with the offensive coordinator. And we know the offensive lineman coach left, and then your running back coach, all that's gone, you know? And I just think it was just too much all at one time.
And, I don't know.
To bring Dorsey on, you know, and whoever else, you know, it's just they're not in tune with one another. When you had – how long Pat was here? He was here for some years, wasn't he? Like 6, 7 years, something like that.
I don't know. It was that long, was it? Was Alex here that long?
Van Pelt?
Yeah.
The whole time Stefanski was here.
4 years? Yeah.
4 years, yeah.
Well, you got to call him AVP. That's how we roll around here. That's why we got confused every second. I'm kidding. I'm just joking. Every press conference, AVP said, okay.
Nicknames are great.
And one more thing I need to ask you guys.
Yeah, sure.
When the Giants got the last touchdown in the first half, all right, where did that – was that a turnover or was off downs when they got that ball back? Because that was the turn event of the game. To whereas they should never got a score, you know, coming towards the half.
No, that wasn't good. And Wayne, thank you very much. It was weird that they scored that late in the game, or that late in the half, wasn't it? Andy?
It was just
and the Browns fumbled it.
Yeah, it was just goofy.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, we just gave them points.
Scott Petrick has to join us. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram, BrownsZone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work. And he joins us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
So riddle me this one.
So you looked lonely and depressed yesterday sitting in the press box. I just want you to know that.
Aw.
Lonely?
Yeah, you look.
Friends with me, Andy.
You were working hard. That's why. And I was like, I think he's depressed in what he's writing. And so I didn't want to bother you. You were in the zone.
Well, that could be true.
So
it took me forever.
So riddle me this. It's only three games. I've gone both ways here today. Reality, it's only three games. They're 1-2. A lot of football to go. Offensive line is messed up, injured, not playing well. I'm assuming they'll get that fixed and move forward. No reason to scream like crazy. However, you're among the league worst in every passing category. Except pass attempts, where you're third. Scott, can you shed any light on that for me?
Well, I don't want to jump too many conclusions about the 1-2 start. Obviously, it's not good, and they have a bunch of problems to fix. And it starts offensively. And it's how do you protect Watson? How do you get him to make quicker decisions and the right decisions to get the ball out of his hand? I didn't think he was bad yesterday. He missed some throws. And when it comes down to a one-possession game, some of those throws matter. I think of the one where Elijah Moore was running down the seam in the third quarter and Watson overthrew him and knew he missed him and kind of pounded his thighs with his fist because it could have been a touchdown. But it's I find it hard to put too much blame on Watson when the protection just hasn't been there. And I'm sure he's part of that, but it's hard to play quarterback when you're running around and you're getting hit 17 times a game. So I think that's where it starts, and it's going to be harder to fix when, you know, who knows, is Wyatt Teller done for the season? You know, DeJuan Jones did not look right yesterday, and they're counting on him to play right tackle. Jed Wills left. James Hudson left. So they're going to have to figure that out. I think they can figure that out, but it's three games in and they haven't, and it's not just guys getting beat one-on-one. It's they're not identifying where some of the pressures are coming from, and I think that starts with quarterback, and that leads to the overall struggles on offense.
I don't know. I'm looking at this offensive line, and we're talking about all the MRIs that are supposed to happen. I guess in the back of my mind, I'm like, I hope the five guys that play offensive line can turn into what we saw from the Guardians rotation, where we didn't know who anybody was. We're at the point now where we would have never figured out who would be in this rotation for the Guardians. Now I don't know who's going to be in the rotation on that offensive line moving forward. How do you go out and fix that quickly?
Yeah, well, it's not easy to do. And we saw last year, I mean, they were down their top, four out of their top five tackles had season-ending injuries last year. So they finished the year with, you know, James Hudson and Jerron Christian playing tackle for him. So you can do it, but you have to get creative. You have to be really on point. You have to have great plans. You have to help with your tight ends. Like, there's a way to get around not having the best offensive lineman out there. And we see it in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's missing offensive linemen, and they're 3-0. Like, it can be done. It's not easy. And what makes it more difficult for the Browns is even when their guys are healthy, and they've had 4 out of 5 guys for the most part, right? For 2-plus games, they had 4 of their 5 starting guys. And it still hasn't been good. The protection still hasn't been good enough. So they're not starting from a good point. They're starting from a poor point, and then they might be down multiple more starters. So it's not going to be easy. I don't think that will sink the season for them or should sink the season for them, even if they're without whoever on that line. I think you can figure things out, but it's going to be difficult, and they're probably going to have to go outside if these injuries turn out to be serious. They're going to have to go outside the roster because they just don't have enough guys on the practice squad and on the active roster to get them through. They're going to need reinforcements if multiple guys are going to miss, you know, long-term.
Scott Petrak joining us, and he's going to be at Kevin Stefanski's press conference, 12:30. We'll hear Scott ask questions right here on 92.3 The Fan. This team runs the ball fairly well, Scott. And offensive linemen will always tell you they prefer run blocking to pass blocking. The pass blocking's having issues. Why only, 12 carries to the running backs yesterday?
Yeah, I don't know, Jeff. it feels like when they lose that that's what we wind up talking about.
Yeah.
And right in Jacksonville, it was.
But it's common. When they don't run the ball, they seem to lose.
Yeah. Well, in Jacksonville, there was a concerted effort to come out and run the ball and establish the run. Now, I don't know if they looked at the Giants' defense and said, we're not going to be able to run the ball, or they said, we will be able to throw the ball, and that's what the game plan was. But I'm looking at the first half stats, and they only rushed 7 times. Now, we've had this discussion plenty of times. They also had 7 yards on those 7 carries.
That's true.
So if you're a play caller, are you incentivized to go back to the run when you're getting 1 yard a carry? It makes it difficult. So they didn't run it well early. They didn't run it enough. They weren't getting first downs. If you look at the drive chart, it's not like they were stacking first downs, so they didn't have a ton of opportunities to run the ball. But for them to be at their best, I think, at least for now, they're going to have a better balance. They can't be this team that just spreads it out with 4 and 5 wides and throws it 40 times a game. And I know this is a small sample size, but I feel like through 3 weeks we've learned that is they need a balance, and that takes pressure off the offensive line. It takes pressure off Deshaun Watson from feeling like they have to do everything. And you're 100% right. I mean, just in normal conversation with Whiteheller or Joe Batonio, whoever it is, they talk all the time about how much they'd rather run the ball, right? Because it puts them in a better spot than
they're on the attack.
Their heels. And and it's just a tough spot to be asked to block these outstanding defensive lines, which you see every week 40 times a game.
How concerned are we with Myles Garrett?
Yeah, to me, that's a big one. We just talked about how I think they can figure it out with the offensive line. I don't know if there's a way to figure it out without Myles Garrett. I think he's that important to this team. I mean, if he were to miss any stretch of time, and hopefully we have some more clarity on that today. Kevin Stefanski said he was going to get an MRI. Myles is talking about not only both feet, but it's leading to him compensating. And his rest of his legs are hurting. And then you watch some of the plays, and he got banged into. So, are there other injuries now? It took him forever to get up that one time. They needed help to the sideline, but then he comes back in the game. So, I know he's going to play if he can. And, I think people have stopped giving Myles Garrett a hard time, like fans, right? Fans are so hard on him for a long time. I thought unfairly. Agreed. I think that has stopped, and probably winning NFL Defensive Player of the Year helps. But the guy doesn't miss games. He missed one game for an injury after his rookie year, right? He had some injuries his rookie year. Since the start of 2018, he's missed one game because of injuries, and that was after that car accident. And then he came back the week later, and he was still banged up, but he kept playing. So if he can be out there, he will, but sometimes you can't. The injuries are too bad. And if that's the case, then Jim Schwartz is going to have to blitz more because they're not going to be able to generate the same pressure that they do with Myles Garrett.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com. You hit Cedric Tillman between the numbers.
Yeah.
That was a nice pass by Deshaun. I thought he made some nice passes yesterday. Amari Cooper made some great catches on some nice passes. Where's the wide receiver crew in your mind? Or is that something, Scott, that we can't even evaluate now because of the other issues?
I think you can evaluate it. And it was a big step for Amari Cooper, and I thought he would return to the Amari Cooper. Right? I didn't think he had turned 30 and, fallen off a cliff. I thought he had 2 bad games, and yesterday was what Amari Cooper looks like. And that's a great sign. And you're right, Watson made some really nice throws to him. Cooper made some unbelievable catches along the sideline where, he's able to control his body and get his feet in bounds. Nice. Right? He looked fine.
Yep.
I think Jerry Jeudy's fine, is your number 2. Didn't have a big game yesterday, but had the 2-point conversion. Has shown up throughout the first 3 games. I think he's fine. The concern is, Cedric Tillman drops that ball late and just isn't getting a lot of catches. And he's out there a bunch, but he's not having a lot of production. I feel the same way about Elijah Moore. And they need one of those guys to emerge. And, they missed David Njoku. And when David Njoku comes back, that helps the passing game. You consider him as a receiver. But I think for Watson in this passing offense to be anywhere close to what they think it can be, it's up to Tillman or Moore to show up and start producing.
I kind of want to go back to the offense here for a second. Just how much of the play calling do you think is actual, like, live in-game play calling, and how much of it is analytics saying we need to do this? And I think the only reason I'm asking that is because analytics said go for two because you increased your opportunity to win by 8% during the game. And now I'm like, you know, we're sitting here, and Jeff, and it kind of just hit me because Jeff keeps talking about, why are we passing? Why are we passing? Why are we passing? And I'm just wondering how much of this is influenced by analytics. I mean, is Kevin calling the play or is analytics calling the play?
No, I think it's Kevin, especially like during the game. I don't think anybody's in Kevin's ear saying this is the time to pass the ball. Now, I think they have organizational, philosophical discussions, and they're on the same page that the way to win in today's NFL is to throw it a bunch, and that, you know, there's data that proves that. I think he enters a game or enters a season thinking, yeah, this is who we want to be. This is the right plan, the right blueprint. But I think when it's second and two, I don't think he's got that in the back of his head. I think he calls the play that he thinks they're better off calling. But, you know, there's different game plans that are more slanted toward the run and more slanted toward the pass. And yesterday was certainly slanted toward the pass. And, you know, and then we know how it goes. You get down 14 points and you're not moving the ball. You got to throw more. You go hurry up, all those things. And that skews it. I think Kevin Stefanski is his own guy and he's calling his own plays.
All right, Scott, get ready for the press conference. We look forward to hearing your questions. And thank you as always, bud.
And B, are you going to Vegas?
I am.
Oh, dude, be careful.
And are you leaving early?
We're worried about you.
No, I wish I could leave early. I'm not leaving early.
We need to make that happen. Who do we need to call? Hey, the guys on the fan want to have me on early to promote the paper. Is there any way I can go on early? That's what you should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Good idea.
I'll make the most of that one night out there.
There you go.
Have fun.
See you, buddy. Thank you. Scott Petrek, Chronicle Telegram, BrownsZone.com. Read all of Scott's work there. He joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I usually don't question too much. I like to see them run the ball more because I think they're good at it. I definitely want to see them run the ball more. I do not understand. Your offensive line is in shambles. They're injured. The guys filling in aren't filling in as well as you would hope. And yet they're third in the National Football League in pass attempts and dead last or close to it in just about every passing category, including getting your quarterback sacked. Wow. I do not get that.
Don't lose touch with the baseball races now because Cleveland is battling for that first round bye with the Yankees.
You're trying to make us all feel better, aren't you?
Those Yankees, I'm trying to take us away from the Browns for a second just to, you know, think about the good things that are going on here.
Okay.
Follow all the news at 92.3 The Fan and the Odyssey app presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the new iPhone 16 Pro. It's got your name written all over it.
Okay. Zach is in Cleveland. Zach, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Zach.
Guys, I am glad I didn't waste money going down to that game yesterday. I was looking at tickets and just the night before, just looking at the prices drop. And I'm like, oh, I can take the wife and the kids. And, you know, we'll sit up high, but it's $50 a ticket. It's an out-of-conference game. It's the Giants. They're 0-2. We're going to come in and we're going to mop these guys. I'm going to get to see Jim Donovan. Unfortunately, I saw that he wasn't there. But, you know, and Phil Dawson get inducted. This is going to be a great day. And I'm glad I didn't buy those tickets because this team sucks. It sucks. And I need somebody, and I called you guys after week one. I need somebody on this team to say that. I need somebody to be pissed off at the performance that this team is putting on the field in front of their home fans. I don't care if we beat Jacksonville. You're supposed to beat Jacksonville. We beat them in their field. Beat somebody on your home. You were 8-1 here last year with four different quarterbacks. Figure it out. I'm tired of this stuff, you guys. I'm tired of watching it. I didn't even watch week two. I went to the Tribe game because they're so much more entertaining. This is so terrible. Every single year we watch the same stuff. I feel like I'm in an episode of Twilight Zone. This is the same thing we called about, the same things we talked about with Baker Mayfield, every other quarterback before him. This is the same conversation.
Zach.
What are we doing?
Zach. Zach, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Feel better? Feel better? You got it off your chest.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
That's why we're here for you, brother.
There you go, Zach.
We are here for you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Boom. There you go. That's what Browns Monday Therapy is all about. Or Browns Therapy Monday.
Whatever it is.
It doesn't really matter.
Whatever it is.
13 years we would do this.
Zach was going.
I'm so rattled, I can't even say the name of it right.
Zach was going.
Browns Therapy Monday.
Larry's in Cleveland. Larry.
Hi, Larry. Get it off your chest, Larry.
Welcome, Larry.
So, man, I like to say, man, we got to stay resilient regardless. When we lose, we all lose. When we win, we all win. But most of all, Kapaski, he messed up, man. He keep changing offensive coordinators every year. That don't work, man.
He hasn't.
You will lose every year because you got to – it's a process, man. Everything's a process. And then you bring your he messed up the preseason. You at least got to play your players at least one or at least a couple plays in a quarter just to get their rhythm, man. Everybody got their rhythm on offense and defense. And, you know, being playing the game, you got to, man – you got to stick together, man. And then on top of that, get that offensive coordinator out of his hand because he did the same thing in Minnesota. That's why they got rid of him, man, because he arrogant as heck. I'm going to tell you. But most of all, man, he alternated them backs. Ford got tired. That's why he fumbled the ball. I'm going to keep it real. Alternate them backs, man. Put them new receivers in. Get them some rhythm, man, because we're going to need everybody at this stretch. Away, they're going to play great, but – at home, it's, I don't know, man. It's they got to just like the caller said, get it right, man. Because we got your back, for the city, man. You represent the city, man. You got to catch the ball. Receivers catch that ball, man. I don't care low or high, catch it, man. Because your life is online, your career is online.
All right, Larry.
Larry, thank you.
Larry covered just about everything there.
Can you do me a favor? Can you put this on the Hall of Fame name?
Oh, yeah, we're adding this one to the list,
Kaplansky.
Too. Kaplansky
that's
good.
A new one, yeah.
That's a good one.
So, again, if you're looking at the name Hall of Fame for Kevin Stefanski, Kaplansky, Stepanski, Stefanski, and am I forgetting anybody else?
We had a Stamansky. Stamansky was on there, too.
Okay, just want to make sure it's on the Hall of Fame. Kaplansky.
That was outstanding.
That's a good one, man.
There are Polish names that start with K. Krzyzewski.
Yeah, but it sure as hell ain't the head coach of your Browns.
No, it's not.
No, you just totally teed that up like Lucy and Charlie Brown.
I sure did, didn't I? Yeah, I did. Tommy is in Fort Myers, Florida.
Tommy,
hello,
how
Tommy.
You feeling about Coach Kaplansky today? Good?
I'm pissed off.
Well, fire away, my friend. Fire away.
About the pronunciation of his name or about the offense?
No, I'm pissed off at the Haslams because they have Stefanski, but he's handcuffed because they had to change. They couldn't help themselves. They had to change something. They had to fire somebody instead of letting Stefanski and his boys just run their play-action, run-game offense, which the offensive line has been built upon. Right? That's what we need. You know, Chubb's not there, but you know what? The way Stefanski plans this O-line run game, play-action offense, under quarterback under center, is a good game plan, but they completely, gotten rid of it and hired all these new coaches. They put Watson in the shotgun. They asked their offensive line to become this, pass blocking line. I know there's a lot of injuries there, and they lost Callahan, which is unfortunate. But you got to let them do what they can do. You can't change the whole offense for one guy, even though they gave him all this money and all that. I know. But I blame the Haslams here. I think, even when Chubb comes back, it might be too late. So we'll see what happens.
All right, another satisfied customer on a Browns Therapy Monday. I think he feels better. Right? You notice the tone in the beginning, and then as he gets it off his chest, it's more relaxing. It's back to reality.
If everybody's counting on Nick Chubb to come back and cure the ills of the running game,
Jeff, yes, it is.
Well, that's unfair to Nick. You can't expect a guy coming back from an ACL to walk in the door and be what he was.
I think he expects himself to be what
he was. That's fine. Yeah. You can't do it. Maybe he will. And if anybody can, it's Nick Chubb. But man, if you're the Browns, he's going to be on a snap count. Yeah. You're not going to put him out there for 20 carries a game.
No, not right away.
And this team knows how to run the ball without him. Jerome Ford did a nice job last year without him. Deonte Foreman, I think, is a good running back. Got two carries yesterday. Roman is in Canton. Hello, Roman.
Roman.
Hey, guys. How are you? Please excuse my raspy voice.
Yeah, what's with you? I thought that's not Roman.
Yesterday made me sick, guys. It really did. And I watched, and it's the most frustrating thing on the planet, seeing what we were and what we should be, no matter the circumstance. I got two things, guys. It's just sloppy. And, you know, you think they go to the Greenbrier to build all this camaraderie and to, you know, to clean up all the mistakes in the beginning of the year. But drop balls, penalties, I heard a stat yesterday that 80 or 85% of our drives start with a penalty. Do you know how ridiculous that is for a professional football team? It's miserable. So
here, you want to feel better about that? They only had, what they have yesterday, 5 penalties for 48 yards. They had 13 penalties for 100 yards last week. So, hey, we're seeing some improvement.
Yeah, but guess what? We were also 4 for 29 on third down.
I know.
That's miserable, and it's all sloppy from holdings, from dropped balls, from fumbles when you never supposed to fumble. You're driving to tie the game before halftime, and then we get the ball back after halftime to take the lead, and you fumble it, give it to them, and now we're down 2 scores. It was just – it's sloppy all around, and I think Kevin tries too much of this reverse psychology. We're really good at the run, and they're really bad at the run, so let's surprise them with 40 pass plays in the first half. That's not what good football teams do. They know what they're good at. The other team knows what they're good at, and they don't care because they are good at it. So run the ball. Stop trying to force this pass offense that we don't have. It's been clear that we have been a run-first team with Nick Chubb or without Nick Chubb for the past 5 years. So quit trying to be fancy and stick to what we're good at. That's the most frustrating thing about this team. And Stefanski, I like him as a coach. I think, you know, how could you be mad about a guy who has had one losing season in the past 4 years, and that season was 7-9? Sure, I get people's frustrations, but at the same time, you got to quit trying to be sneaky and tricky and just be good at what we're good at.
Period. Thank you, Roman.
Roman,
thank
take care
you.
Of that voice, and I couldn't agree more. It's how Andy and I started the show today.
It's the identity, and there is none.
You're really good at something, and you're not doing it. At least historically good at it. I don't know, Andy, if we can actually say now that you're good at it because you only ran it 12 times with your running back yesterday.
I don't quite know what they're good at right now. I know the defense didn't give up any points yesterday.
The identity is lacking, that's for sure.
But they were knocking on the door. They went out of bounds at the one. So, I mean, it easily could have been 28.
Dave's in Beechwood, home of good shopping.
Hey, Dave.
Wonderful shopping here in Beechwood. And I'll tell you what the Browns are good at. They're good at being soft. I don't know what happened to – I feel like the Browns used to be a team where at least you could give them credit that they were tough, that we were a ground-and-pound team, that we had tough guys, that we didn't like losing. But instead, now we've got an offense ran by Kenneth Dorsey, who does the least tough thing you could do with the little dink-and-dunk passing offense. There's no honor in that. What happened to the days when men were men and you had guys smoking cigars and drinking whiskey at halftime, leather helmets?
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
That's what I want. If we had that going on, maybe we'd have a chance to win some games.
Cigars all around.
3 to 4 yard passes. I can't take it anymore, guys. Bring me back to the manly days of the Browns.
Yes.
And then maybe I'll start buying tickets again.
All right, there you go.
Dave, there you go.
I got to pick some dirt and grass off my face mask right now. Pooey. I'll eat it. I don't care.
Unfortunately, Gene Hickerson and Dick Schaffrath are not available.
Lou Groza?
I don't think Lou's available either.
I like Lou. Otto?
I know Otto's not available.
All right. I tried.
Was worth a shot.
Thank you.
So, look, the offense has been struggling, as we know. Here's another issue. And I even hate to say this is an issue, but I think it is.
Okay.
The defense has been okay.
Yeah.
This defense has to be really good for this team to win. Right now, 12th in total yards, 15th in passing yards, 13th in rushing yards. This is the same thing they kind of did last year. Remember, they were number one in yards allowed last year.
Yeah.
They were the stingiest in giving up yards. But they gave up more points than yards as far as rankings. They're 22nd right now in points allowed. That Dallas game skewed things, certainly,
yeah.
You know, because Dallas blew them out. But the Browns are allowing 22.3 points a game.
They're also number one in choreography, when it comes to touching the passer calls.
After penalties that are against your team that you didn't know were against your team.
Correct.
Here's the snap. Blitz from Newsom off the edge. He got it away and it's picked off with a flag. Martin Emerson has it, but there's a flag in the backfield. I think they're going to get Newsom for hitting the quarterback.
See, Andrew had a better perspective on it than the guys on the field.
I don't think Andrew would have been dancing on that play.
Well, Andrew had a better perspective.
He knew to wait for the flag.
He could see it. It was back in the backfield. Everybody else was downfield getting ready for the choreographed celebration.
Those are great when you're winning. This team isn't there. I think we need to earn the honor to have choreographed dances at this point.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'm okay with individual celebrations and maybe one other guy giving you a high five. Or you know, I can always appreciate a good mid-air body slam. I think those are okay, but that's only two. When you get everybody involved after a play that didn't actually come to fruition, it's a little embarrassing. It is.
Problem here, defense has been okay. And if this offense is going to struggle, Andy, the defense has to be just downright nasty.
They've got to give they've got to put this offense in a position where they don't have to go 80 yards.
True. Dominic is in East Rochester, I'm assuming. Hi, Dominic.
Hi, Dominic.
Good morning, boys.
How are you, sir?
By the way, I have him as Szymanski.
Szymanski. All right, I'm going to put that in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, put that in.
Yeah, it's Szymanski. Yeah. I don't know why I can't get it. You know, I was going to wait till tomorrow to call, but I can't. I can't help myself, and I'm so thankful that you guys do this on the day after.
Good.
And, you know, listen, the drop passes are unbelievable. I know that in some cases that the guy is running for his life. I get it. We got offensive line problems. 200 colleges graduate football players, and yet we can't find four guys, fat guys, that can block. It's unbelievable.
Maybe that's the issue. Pete Prisco on CBS wrote a story, Dominic, that offensive linemen are getting beat by these smaller, quicker defensive linemen. And maybe part of the reason why is that offensive linemen aren't hitting in training camp and in the preseason as much. I thought it was really interesting.
Well, I was going to make that point too, but I got to get this other thing off my chest because I say drop passes, he's running for his life. But listen, you got the elephant in the room. The guy stinks. It was a mistake. It was a $230 million experiment that didn't work. And when you're in a game like that, you mean to tell me that Szymanski is going to be so stubborn that he can't at least put the other guy in and see what the hell happens? And I don't care about a quarterback controversy. These guys play for pay. All you got to do, worry about their feelings. And as far as these injuries, you guys just touched on it. This, again, goes back to them not playing in the preseason, in my opinion anyway. You know, they don't play. The training camps are powder puff these days. Nobody hits. Nobody does this. Nobody does that. And then the season comes along and everybody gets hurt.
All right, Dominic.
Quarterback stinks. He stinks. When he does have time, he misses guys by a mile.
Dominic, thank you.
Thank you, Dominic. Yeah, I don't know. Can I put that in the Hall of Fame? He told us he was going to call him Szymanski early in the
phone
call. All right, he's in.
I'd put it in because midway through the call, I think he actually didn't say
Szymanski. He dropped it well.
If you're keeping score at home, it's a 4-6-3 double play with Klapanski. Stefanski.
Didn't we have a Stepanovich too?
I don't know that. Past? I don't know. Only Alex Stepanovich.
Yeah, I know.
Berea, legend that played at Ohio State. Yeah. Szymanski.
TJ's in North Ridgeville. Hello, TJ.
Hi, TJ.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. I was at the game yesterday, and actually Dominic was pretty refreshing with the exception. I'll be a little more respectful of our quarterback. You know, one thing nobody's bringing up, you know, when he got hurt last year, before he did, he was running around a lot last year, too.
Yeah.
So when they brought in, you know who, Flacco, I was all concerned this guy's going to get run. But guess what? He got rid of the ball quickly. on time, on target, and that's what this guy is not doing. Because that's one way to hold back all these rushers from, you know, pinning their ears back and coming after them. You start hitting quick hitters, that settles everything down. And I'm not seeing that from, you know, from this guy. And, like Dominic said, when he does have time, he misses his receivers. I mean, there were several in the game yesterday, and the drops, you know. So I'm kind of souring, really, on this guy. And I don't know how long you're going to go before you pull the plug, because the season will be lost. And, you know, I'm a season ticket holder. And, you know, these tickets are a lot of money. So anyway, that's my thought. Your thoughts?
TJ, thank you very much. I've said, Andy, I said before the start of the season and over the summer, I think Deshaun gets this year. And if it doesn't work, I think they go the Denver Bronco route. You know, Denver went out and they drafted Bo Nix, who was atrocious in the first two games. Guess what? He was really good yesterday, and they beat Tampa. Baker was too busy throwing Tom Brady under the bus for that Super Bowl win. They put up 7 points, and I think Denver scored 26, and Bo Nix looked good.
Yeah, and you can Baker put somebody good the first else 2 weeks of the season, though. I mean, Baker was...
Oh, no, without question. Baker's done a fine job there. But you can put somebody else at quarterback, and... I mean, how long are you going to wait to get what to get a return on what the return? Not just any return. I mean, you're looking for something special out of Deshaun. And if you don't see it, it's time to move on. I mean, it's real clear. I mean, teams do that, it's the NFL. Deshaun's passer rating right now. You ready to be disgusted? You ready?
Yeah.
His quarterback rating is what it is. There are different ways of doing this, but the quarterback rating... 31st in the NFL, ahead of one guy and one guy only, Bryce Young. What'd that get Bryce Young? Benched for Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
31st in the NFL. Cleveland is in Cleveland, really cool.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Cleveland. Guys. Was Cleveland Crosby your favorite Brown?
No, he wasn't. It was Jim Brown with my dad. He won a championship, so
nice.
I haven't had that yet with me and my son and grandson. So,
dare to dream, Cleveland, right? Dare to dream.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that seems like there wasn't any pop to the offense, and it seems like when you run the ball a little bit with those guys as big as they are, they have never struggled with the fact that if you get some good running plays, something always good happened because they were trapping good and shooting, you know, on the offensive line rather than trying to defend on passes all the time. And I think that maybe that was one of the culprits. And then the quarterback holds on to the ball too long, and then he puts his head down and comes back up. By the time you do that and set yourself up, it's too late. So, I don't know, guys. I'll let you talk. I'm done. Thanks for letting me vent.
Thanks, Cleveland.
Thanks, Cleveland.
It's not just a Cleveland, and I don't mean you, Cleveland. It's not just a Cleveland Browns problem with Deshaun Watson. He was heavily sacked when he was in Houston. I mean, that's been something that's happened throughout his career. He hangs on to the ball a long time. He tries to make plays, and by doing so, and Cleveland's right. I mean, we see it. He goes back in the pocket, then puts his head down, spins out of it. Well, when you put your head down, what happens, Andy?
Bad things.
You can't see the field, can you?
No, you can't. That's a good
point. So it just, he's been sacked an awful lot in his career. So though it's an issue right now with the Browns offensive line, and you could say the Browns offense, it's an issue that came with him from Houston. More of your phone calls coming up, 216-474-0092. Kevin Stefanski's press conference.
Kaplansky.
Charles says he thinks the problem is Kevin Kaplansky.
Ah, true, Kaplansky.
When do we get to hear from
Davis.
From Willoughby.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hi, Davis.
Everybody is dumping on Deshaun Watson.
You know, it hasn't been as bad as I thought it was going to be today. With Jeff, did you think that?
No, I don't think it's been that bad, Davis.
I do agree with you. People are dumping on him, but it's not anywhere near as bad as I thought it would be. Go ahead, Davis.
I'm looking at the game, yeah, and I'm looking at plays that's being called. I'm looking at the offense that's been put on the field. That's not Deshaun. And also, did one of the linemen say we can only run the plays that is called? Is that what I heard? Am I crazy or something?
I didn't hear that. It doesn't mean it didn't happen, Davis.
So what I'm saying is that they all coming down on him. Now, did he have any hot routes? He had no hot routes. Everything that he was doing was going deep. Everything that he threw. And I just want to hear your perspective of it. Thank you.
All right, Davis. I just, and it's the first time in a while I've thought Kevin Stefanski didn't call a great game. I thought that that was something that, I mean, you weren't passing it well. You passed it like crazy. You run the ball pretty well, usually. You ran it fairly well in the second half. You averaged about 5.5 yards a carry in the second half. The one thing about that, it was kind of skewed because Deshaun had a 26-yarder. He had a little less than half of their second half rushing yardage on that one carry. But I didn't think it was the best. I didn't think it was the best game they've had.
I'm looking at his spray chart from yesterday, and man, hardly anything went to the right. They had four passes that went to the right of from 0 to 10 yards. Here we go again with the, you know, all these passes are, the majority of his passes again yesterday. I'm looking at 10 plus yards throws. He had 3, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think he had 9 of more than 10 yards. 9. Blaney. So I don't know that he might have been looking deep. He wasn't connecting deep or throwing deep. Of 10 yards or plus, he had 3 completions. One of those was the touchdown. Outside left twice, between the numbers once. There's just not a lot of love going on when you look at the spray chart.
As I mentioned, there are some stats that are just awful when it comes to their passing game. And one of them, worst yards per pass attempt, 4.8. And that's, you know, that's per attempt.
Mm.
Third worst yards per game, most sacks allowed, fourth worst passer rating, third worst completion percentage, yet third most passes thrown. Will's in Olmsted Falls. Hello, Will.
Hey, Will.
Welcome.
Hey, welcome, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you? Welcome to a Browns Therapy Monday.
I just realized, you know, I can't blame Deshaun Watson because I have been asking for at least 3 years now for the Browns to get a better offensive line. And, you know, you could have the best quarterback, the best running back, the wide receivers. You could have it all. But if your offensive line cannot protect your quarterback, and he does, I actually feel that Deshaun Watson is a little scared because he has all these old veterans around that can't keep up with the pace of game. And if you look at some of the linebackers, I mean, Jedrick Wills just let one guy just go right through him, you know, right around him, because these guys are so big, they get one or two blocks, and then they can't keep up with the guy, other words. So, you know, I don't understand why the Browns are not, you know, they've had many years to rebuild our offensive line.
Well, the offensive line was pretty good, Will. It was really beat up last year. I'm assuming they're thinking, when we get healthy, we're going to be better. They're really not healthy
yet. Why keep Batonio and Jedrick Wills?
Because Batonio's going to the Hall of Fame and he still plays at a high level.
On the bench all the time.
Batonio still plays at a high level. You might not have liked him at left tackle yesterday.
And he may not have had a great game yesterday, I'll give you that. But for all the great games he has had before, I'll cut him some slack. He is 32 years old, though. I agree. I felt like if they had all 5 of their offensive linemen to start the season, you know, Jed Wills has been the one that everyone's been questioning, and he's the youngest one of all those guys, right? I'm just looking to make sure that.
Honestly, right. I think the talent on the offensive line, if it's not a talented offensive line, then Andy, it went south in one offseason. I think it's a very talented offensive line. I think these guys are good. I think Wyatt Teller's a terrific right guard. He's having an MRI today. I think Ethan Posick is a really good center.
Jed's only 25.
I think Jed hasn't improved a whole lot since he's been here, and he won't be here next year unless he improves a little bit. I think Jack Conklin's really good. He hasn't been on the field. I think DeJuan Jones is not what I thought he'd be in year number two. Don't call this an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Also coming back from an injury. You know, so they're all coming back. The tackles are coming back from injury. It hasn't worked yet. To me, that doesn't scream that our offensive line stinks. To me, it screams, okay, these guys have been injured. They've been in and out. They haven't figured it out yet. I think they'll be okay if they're healthy.
Age-wise, over 29, Posick Teller Betonio is 32. And that the most important people on this team seem to be over 29. Let's be honest. Njoku's 28. He's important, and he's out. But you're talking about Posick, who's 29, Teller's 29, Deshaun Watson's 29, Jack Conklin, who got hurt again, is 30, Amari Cooper is 30, Jameis Winston, your backup quarterback, is 30.
30's not a death sentence in the NFL.
It is on Logan's Run, but you're correct. It isn't in the NFL.
Curtis is in Cleveland. Hello, Curtis. Welcome to our fine, fun show.
How are you?
Hey, Jeff, how y'all doing, man?
Good, Curtis.
This is Curtis Gambino. Hey, man, listen, man. One of these guys out here, watching this quarterback out here running around, he was just weak offensive line. We know they're going to get his right. But they're weak now. To criticize a quarterback, oh, he doesn't deserve his $230 million. What, he doesn't deserve to be the eighth-paid quarterback in the league, the ninth-paid quarterback? And we got all these 50-year-old guys walking around here making $250 million like Aaron Rodgers. The guy wins more games than he played every year. He played in the league. This is ridiculous. If they're going to hate on somebody, hate on them. That's cool. But don't hate on this. Did you try to count the little nickels and dimes they're giving him? He's not one of the top-paid quarterbacks in this league. And he wins more than he loses. He's a three-time All-Pro. You're going to blame him because guys dropping passes, because guys can't block for him, because guys making dumb penalties. Man, shut the – man, I'll see y'all, man.
Curtis, bye. I want to hear Curtis
say – did he actually edit himself out on that? That was amazing.
He almost hit the dump button on himself.
He knew exactly what he was doing. Give him credit for that.
That was – I wanted to hear Curtis say, ain't nobody have time for that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He was cooking on that one. Dano?
Can I say something out loud that we probably don't want to say out loud?
Sure.
Oh, boy.
Joel Bitonio's been bad.
You think he's been bad all season?
He's been bad.
I don't agree with that.
You go back and watch, he's being pushed into Deshaun Watson more often than we all want to openly admit. Now, granted, Cowboys defensive line is pretty good. Giants defensive line is pretty good. Dexter Lawrence gave him a handful, but
it did seem like as much as you wanted them to, if they were going to beat your offensive line, it was going to be from the outside. They were doing it from the inside yesterday, and they knew that was their game plan. They knew to blow up the offensive line, and that's why we struggled.
Do it on the inside.
So
yep. It is something that I don't think we want to say out loud because we all love Joel Bitonio and he's going to the Hall of Fame and he's a wonderful guy on top of it. He has not been good through three games.
Could be the key. Joey's in Solon. Hello, Joey.
Joey.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You?
Good. You know, yesterday was an atrocity, I feel like. I feel like Deshaun Watson doesn't get enough hate as he should. I mean, you look at last year, we had a depleted O-line, and Joe Flacco comes in and throws 300 yards four out of the five games he plays. You know what I mean? I don't know. It just seems like everyone's trying to – I don't know. Trust me, I was a big Deshaun believer until against the Giants. It should be an easy win. We have a great team. I also think Stefanski's a horrible play caller. He's literally the Ryan Day of the NFL. Cannot call plays.
Ohio State, I mean, I know they haven't played great opponents, but, they put up 150 points.
Well,
in the first three games. Let's see what they do against some of these other teams. I'm not. Although, and Ryan even admitted it, and they brought in Chip Kelly to call the plays. So
exactly. Yeah. And I think they're going to win the championship. But right. I think they're going to go all the way. But you know, when Ryan Day plays a good opponent, he can step up and get a win that they can easily just get and achieve.
All right, let's see what Chip does then. Okay.
No, yeah, yeah. I think they made a good call by having him step down. I think. Also, I don't know why we got rid of our old offensive coordinator, and we got Ken.
He went
Dorsey
to go coach with his son.
That was the offensive line coach.
Yeah, offensive line. Oh, you're talking about coordinator or line coach?
He said coordinator.
Sorry.
Coordinator, yeah, no. And I don't know. We did fine last year. We got Ken Dorsey. He's been proven to be a horrible OC. Clearly can't connect with Deshaun or Stefanski.
it's just, I don't know. I've just been, it's been another disappointing Brown season, and I feel like it's just, I don't know, all my hopes are already gone.
Joey, right. Thank you.
Well, maybe, you know what's crazy? They win next week, your hopes come back.
I need to throw this out, and now's the time to do it.
Okay.
They're 1-2, and they've played 3 games.
Say it isn't so.
They've not looked good, okay? It's 3 games into a 17-game season. There are 14 more to go.
Is it a sprint or a marathon?
There are 14 more to go.
I can't even poke the bear on him some days. Some days I can't even aggravate
him. We just can't overreact this much, folks. It's 3 games. Now, the offensive numbers that we talked about earlier, passing numbers terrible, yet you're passing like crazy, that makes no sense to me. Okay, and I don't think Kevin had his best play calling day yesterday. But it's 3 games. And you had the football late yesterday 3 times with a chance to go in and get a touchdown to win the game.
Twice inside of 2:30 or 5:30.
So Lee's in Bedford, home of the Bearcats. Whoop, Lee, I'm putting you back on hold.
All right, gentlemen, we now go to Zoom for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Injury front, I don't have all the updates just yet, still working through some things. I can tell you Wyatt Teller has a knee injury. He'll miss multiple weeks, but I don't have the full extent just yet. Miles Garrett with his foot injury is day-to-day. And like I mentioned, on all those other ones, I'll update you when we get those all the information. Obviously frustrated, disappointed. As you watch the tape, just I think there are missed opportunities, certain things that we just have to do in order to win in this league, and we didn't do them. So disappointed. We'll learn from it, and then we'll quickly move on. With that, I'll take any questions.
All right. First question, we'll go to Daryl.
Yeah, Kevin, I want to ask you about the offensive line. If I've done the math right, I think it's 16 sacks and 42 QB hits through 3 games. Just from your perspective, setting aside the injury situation, what is going up or going on, I should say, up front with the protection issues?
Yeah, obviously that's disappointing. You know, we have to be better there, and we will be better.
And then defensively, how did you like how they responded in the second half, even with, you know, Miles being hobbled? And, you know, I realize people are dealing with injuries, but, you know, that can't be easy when your best player isn't able to give you 100% of the plays.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the team battled yesterday. Certainly the defense, we played well there in that second half. We have a high standard ultimately, and we want to play better. But the guys definitely were battling out there.
All right, next we'll go to Tony.
Two things, Kevin. Number one is, even before the injuries hit the offensive line, your game plan did not involve the jumbo formations that you used in Jacksonville. Was that because of the opponent, the game plan, or was it because of the circumstances where you thought you might be thin at offensive line?
Yeah, I think all of the above, Tony. I think when you go into game plans, you're trying to look at things that give you an advantage, maybe attack certain things that they do, maybe defensively, just with the health of some of our offensive line, it probably wasn't possible to get some of those guys in those roles, but doesn't mean that there's plenty of things that we can do better, certainly.
And the other thing was the quarterback sneak situation. It seems you're hesitant to use Watson on a traditional quarterback sneak. You were shotgun and 4th-and-1. How does that handicap you as the play caller that you have to bring in another quarterback to perform a sneak?
Yeah, I don't see it that way at all. I think you see that from around the league. Different teams do that. We've used different players in there. There's a bunch of things that you can do in those moments. Obviously, I got to do a better job for this team in those moments, and we have to do a better job and give those guys some plays to go get the first down there.
Thank you.
All right, next we go to Mary Kay.
Yeah, Kevin, just wondering, do you feel like in some ways you dodged a bullet a little bit with Miles Garrett being day-to-day? And then also, do you feel like maybe is Zach Zinter ready to step up into that guard role for you?
Yeah, certainly with Miles, as you guys know, he's battling every day. So feel that he's going to continue to do that. And then we'll work through the offensive line, Mary Kay. It's definitely something that's going to be, we'll take in more information today, tomorrow, Wednesday, before we know exactly how that's going to shake out.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next we'll go to Scott.
Hey, Kevin. With Miles, you said he was going to have an MRI today. Did he have one?
Yes.
He said yesterday that it was all like his whole lower leg. So do you know what he had the MRI on and like what you guys are treating primarily?
Yeah, I wouldn't get into all the specifics, Scott. He's battling.
Okay. And then with Jed coming off the surgery and DeJuan, not 100% with that knee, why not keep a ninth lineman active yesterday?
Yeah, I felt pretty comfortable with the guys that we had. That was, losing Wyatt on field goal. Those are tough. Those are just some circumstances that you don't often see. But bottom line is we felt comfortable with having eight up.
Thanks.
All right, next we'll go to Jeff.
Kevin, I'm going to ask you about third down. It's been an issue each of the first three games. So do you see a constant problem, or what can be done to fix that?
Yeah, I think it's we have to be better there, Jeff. And I think a lot of that you can be better on first and second down to help yourself on third down. I don't think we've been good enough on first and second down. Been in some tough down and distances, or in that case, distances on third down. So that's just a matter of playing better as an offense. But there's always things that we're looking at to try to give our guys a chance.
All right, next to Daniel.
Hey, Kevin. I had a twofold injury question. With Wyatt, is he possible IR candidate? And with Miles, I know you said he's going to continue to battle, but just given the fact that, he said that, both his feet are bothering him, it's creating compounding issues. Is there a point or a conversation that needs to be had about, kind of shutting him down and allowing, whatever he's dealing with to heal properly so he can be good for the long term?
Yeah, first part of your question, remind me?
Is he an IR candidate? Is that a possibility?
Yes, we're working through that. That's a possibility. With Miles, he's like a lot of our guys on this team. He's going to battle through these injuries, and I expect him to continue to get better.
Thank you.
All right, next we'll go to Ashley.
Hey, Kevin. Yesterday, when we talked to Deshaun, he mentioned something to the effect of them maybe switching things up with the blitzes. Like, what was there different looks that you guys maybe weren't expecting, or what was going on there with what the Giants threw at you?
I think early in the season, we're only three games yesterday into these things. So breaking tendencies is a big part of as you get to know offenses and defenses when you're game planning. So they definitely pressured more than they had in the first couple. But that was pretty apparent early that was their game plan. So you're always trying to figure out in these games what teams are going to lean into, whether it's going to be more coverage, more pressure, whatever it may be. There's looks that you often see that you don't game plan for, especially early in the season. And then you just have to make the adjustment in game.
And then how do you think Denzel came out of yesterday with the shoulder and everything?
Yeah, I think he's good.
Thanks.
All right, and looks like our last one from Scott.
Hey, Kevin, what did you see on that, the fourth and one, after Jameis got stuffed on third and one, what did you see on that fourth and one play?
Yeah, we tried a play we tried earlier in the game. Obviously, we can be better, but I know it's very easy for all of us to say, hey, throw it here. This is a that's a tough job that those guys have, and I thought Deshaun made a bunch of plays for us, was putting us in position to try and go make a play to win the game. So there's going to be plays that he wants back. I know there's plays I want back, but I think it's really easy to play that game of could have done this, would have done that. We just we all have to be better.
And what do you think about David Njoku for this week?
We'll see. I'll know more probably Wednesday.
All right. Thanks.
All right, and looks like we have a few more hand raisers now, so we'll go to Daniel first, do a few more.
Yeah, hey, Kevin. I know, again, like you never so much goes into quarterback play, you know, protection and, you know, play calling, whatnot. But when you review the film and watch Deshaun, in structure, is the feel and kind of the speed of, you know, the processing what it needs to be. He himself said that he's missed some throws, but when you see him kind of working in structure in those dropback situations, is the feel and the processing and the timing, you know, kind of what it needs to be. And if not, you know, what, you know, needs to improve there.
Yeah, I think he sees the field really well. I think he, as a veteran that's played in a bunch of games, so understands different looks, sees it before we even talk about it on the sideline as he's coming off. So I think it is certainly, we have to play better as an offense. That's really our main focus.
Thank you.
All right, next one to Mary Kay.
Yeah, Kevin, this is probably very similar to Daniel's question that he just asked, but, you know, there's a lot of talk about the sacks, 8 sacks, 17 hits. How much do you attribute that to the protection, and how much of that goes on to Deshaun?
We kind of talked about this, I think, before, Mary Kay. I think when you're talking about protection, it's everybody. It's from myself, the coaches, the offensive line, tight ends, running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks. It's everybody. And it's everybody has a job to do in order to keep the quarterback clean. So I got to do my part. It's no secret. We can't let him get hit that many times. That's not good enough. And that will get fixed.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we'll go to Tom.
Gordon, thanks. Coach, along the lines of what Daniel and Mary Kay asked in terms of pocket and trying to find kind of an offensive identity here, how challenging has this been? I know it's early in the season. You've got Deshaun coming back off the injury, et cetera. You've got offensive line issues now. How hard has it been to kind of figure out what it is exactly we want to do with all this other stuff going on?
Yeah, I understand the question, Tom, but I think it's all part of it. Honestly, I think that's the NFL for you. Week to week, certain guys are going to be unavailable, or you're going to go up against a different rusher than you saw the week before. So that's our job, just to find ways to be efficient, find ways to be explosive, regardless of the challenges that you may have.
Thank you.
All right, last two. First one from Tony.
Defensive question, Kevin. I know you trust all your cornerbacks, but when it comes to Malik Nabers yesterday, was Jim Schwartz just not your right and left corner? You're not going to shadow at any point, or was that a consideration at all?
Those are all things we talk about both during the weekend and in the game. There are certain times that we've done that. There are certain times that we have various reasons to play right and left. So it's always by game plan, and it's really week to week.
And so the game plan yesterday was right and left, pretty much.
Yeah, and we mixed it in.
Thank you.
All right, last one from Jeff.
Kevin, I want to ask you about that roughing call. When you watch it on, it's a two-part question. When you watch it on tape, was it the right call?
Yeah, I think it was. And we have to be better there. Greg knows that. You can't go up near the quarterback's head and neck area. We got to stay in that strike zone. That's a tough play because that's, as you guys know, that's a turnover right there. So we will be better. And again, not a lack of effort at all, but I did think that was a roughing call.
All right. That's it then. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
It's Kevin Stefanski's press conference.
Thanks, Kevin.
Get ready. They're in Vegas coming up on Sunday, where the Raiders just got shredded by Charlotte, Carolina, so that'll go over well. And then in Washington on October 6th, in Philadelphia, who just shut down the high-powered, really potent New Orleans Saints offense. Gave up 12 points in that game. So, boom, 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 Raiders, Commanders, Eagles. 3 games in a row, all on the road for the Browns with a record of 1-2. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy there is Andy Baskin. Andy and I both working yesterday on the Browns Radio Network. Andy doing pregame. I did postgame with our buddy Tyvus Powell. Hmm. And Tyvus joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline momentarily. In fact, let's go to him right now. Hi, Tyvus.
Hey, Tyvus.
Hello, guys. How are you two doing today? I hear the phones have been off the hook.
Off the hook. You know, the sun is not shining all over Northeast Ohio, and I know with Ohio State putting up 49 on Marshall, the sun must clearly be out in Franklin County or wherever you are.
You know, the thing about this is it's this wise quote. I'm not going to quote it 100% correctly, but it says something about learning to dance in the rain. And that's just what I've learned to do in my lifetime. Even if it's not great weather, I have no problem getting my boogie on in the rain.
That's good to know. See, things I didn't know about you. So there we go. Hey, I did a little checking and just wanted to confirm what my head was showing me. The Browns are dead last or close to last in numerous passing categories. Yet they're third in the NFL in pass attempts, Tyvus. Okay, you just answered. You answered before I even said a question. I mean, let me go over it. Third worst completion percentage, worst yards per attempt, third worst yards per game, most sacks, fourth worst passer rating, yet third in pass attempts. Why are you trying to do something you're not good at?
You know what it is? It's because they're forcing it. You know, they're forcing it. When you think about the Cleveland Browns, they so desperately wanted to transcend this team from being a run-first team to a pass-happy team. And it's just not working, you know. I think that when you think about, you know, Deshaun and everything that he did in Houston, you know, it was a lot of him kind of improvising. I don't think he's used to just like being a timing guy, you know, where at a certain time I'm gonna do three, take my five step drop, when I hit my hitch, boom, I'm gonna throw it right here. Like, I don't think that's how he's best utilized. It's more chaotic than that. He's more, look at the field. If it ain't there, scramble around, have some fast receivers, and let them go. I mean, you think about the wide receivers he had when he was in Houston, and you think about the ones that we have here. We have people that are route technicians. In Houston, he had, outside of D-Hop, he just had speed, and it just worked for him. And I think that they're forcing it, you know? I just think that, you know, Kevin's system maybe just not works for what Deshaun is good at. And, you know, you go get Ken Dorsey to try to help that out, but we haven't really seen a change. It still looks like, at the end of the day, it still looks like they are running what Kevin is specializing in. And I mean, I understand that they have some success with it. So I think that's what it is. I think this team has to just get a reality check and just say, you know what, we are a run-first team. Let's get back to establishing that run game, and we run play action, you know, and we try to do the best we can there. But at this moment, this scheme and Deshaun, those two just don't seem to fit quite well to me.
I'm just asking this because his name comes up like three times a show. Why did it work so well with Joe Flacco?
Because Joe Flacco's used to doing that. You know, you think about when he was with the Ravens, they were what? They ran the ball and they ran play action off of him, and he had a really good arm, you know? And that's just not, when you think about Deshaun, you think about prime Deshaun. What did he do? He broke out of a sack, scrambled around, got some time, and just chucked the ball deep down the field, and he got somebody, Will Fuller or Brandon Cooks or somebody, was down there to make a big play. Or if he did have to throw it at a certain time, he threw it to D-Hop, who was just one of the best possession receivers. You just put it in the area and D-Hop came up with it. I mean, you got to think, this is prime D-Hop we was talking about. So, you know, it's not the same. You know, it's just not the same. And I will say, you know, going back, you know, I know we had a lot of angry callers, and I kept telling you that the line wasn't great, which it was not. But I will, and I also admit it, that Deshaun missed some throws. He's not really seeing the field well as well, you know. It was some situations that took place where it was just like, dude, like, just make the throw. Like the Jordan Akins in the flat, like, he was open. Like, just make the throw. Stand in there. We know you can take it. We know you're probably going to get hit, but you've taken a bunch of hits before. Stand in there, deliver that ball to Jordan Akins, and let's keep the chains moving. And he pulls it down and he tries to run, because that's just kind of what he's used to doing when sticky situations come up. He used to pulling the ball down, scrambling around, making something happen, keeping his eyes downfield, and finding a guy that he can throw it to deep. And the Browns receivers, that's just not who they are. You know, that's just not the type of game that they play. So right now, I just think that they need to go back to the basics, and that's figure out that run game. You think about Jacksonville, why was they successful? Why did it look better? Because they established the run.
Tyvus Powell joining us. I don't know if you heard Kevin announce Wyatt Teller knee situation. He's out multiple weeks as a candidate for the IR, Tyvus. So Teller's going to be out at right guard. We're still not sure who the right tackle is going to be. Is it DeJuan? Is Jack going to be back? And is Jed Wills okay to play left tackle? Maybe you have 40% of your starting offensive line. How do you make a situation like that tolerable for a football team?
Well, I tell you what, when you know that your offensive line isn't great, the deeper development routes is not an option, you know, especially when you think about Max Crosby and Christian Wilkes. Like, that's just, you can't. Those guys are good. They're a great pass rusher, so you're not going to have a ton of time to do what you want. Plus, you ain't got none of your, you ain't got a lot of your starters in there. So you got to go back to what you talked about all training camp, and that's get the ball out your hands fast. Have your receivers win the route. You got to, if you're going to utilize, because you're stuck. You're handicapped. This is what it is this season. So you got to run the ball, and you got to have your receivers win quickly in their quick game. You know, running slants, running dig routes, running overs. You know, that's what it's going to have to be, and Deshaun's just going to have to really swallow his pride and just deliver the ball in a timely manner. You know, he can't play the backyard football right now because, like I said, they just don't have that personnel for him to do that right now. So that's what y'all did. Y'all spent the whole training camp and all the OTAs talking about getting the ball in and out of Deshaun's hands. It's time to put that to the test, because that's what you're going to have to do until at least till your offensive line gets back in the full attack.
Myles Garrett, we're not exactly sure. We know he's dealing with feet issues, and now it's something that Kevin doesn't really want to talk about. You know, your thoughts on not having him, what that does to the dynamic in the locker room, and obviously we all know what that's going to mean on the field.
I think last year we got spoiled as a Cleveland Browns organization, or a fan base, I should say, because we adopted that next man mentality so much, and they overcame a lot, you know, and people thought that that's normal, you know, that if somebody goes down, the next guy goes in there can still get the job done to the same extent. And I think people are finding out that's actually harder than what you think it is. That's, the guys are starters for a reason, guys are twos for a reason. And, you know, when I think about Miles not being in there, you know, we've been waiting for years for another premier pass rusher to emerge opposite of Miles. You know, you think about Miles is just a freak. He's one of the best. Defensive player of the year, all of those things. And to think that he's not going to be there, especially when you think about Jim Schwartz's defense of only rushing four and having everybody else kind of be in coverage, where is that pressure going to come from? You know, guys aren't – now, you, these guys were getting single block. And Miles dealt with a double team and a triple team. Now you're telling me you might – potentially you're going to go into games and now – they can double whoever, you know, it don't matter who it is. They can just double them now. They ain't got to worry about changing their offense to try to stop Myles Garrett or slow him down. Like, it's scary to think about those things. Guys are going to have to step up. And I'll tell you what, Jim Schwartz, last year, Kevin, I thought Kevin did a good job of earning his paycheck. I think now, this year, with Miles is not in there, it's Jim's turn to earn his paycheck, you know, come up with some creative ways. Because it seems to me people figured out what you were doing. And don't get me wrong. I've been a part of a scheme where people knew it. When I was in Seattle, people knew exactly what we were running. But we had that same mentality that I think Jim Schwartz has with the Browns. You know what we're in, but can you stop us? Like, what you going to do to beat it, you know? And right now, when you losing guys, like a guy like Miles, like, it's hard to not – you got to twitch things up a little bit, because you got to still find a way to get some pressure there. You still got to find a way to be effective. Miles did a really good job of hiding a lot of things, a lot of mistakes. Now these guys are going to be asked to play mistake-free football. So, yeah, it's going to be tough if he's not able to go.
Mr. Powell, we will chat with you on Sunday. Thank you, buddy.
Sounds good. Go Bucks, go Browns.
Tyvus Powell, Browns Radio Network. You'll hear him with Andy pregame Sunday as the Browns get ready to play the Raiders. You'll hear him with me after the game as we talk all about it. Been a depressing day, Andy.
Has it? Hasn't it? Yes,
yeah,
it has.
It's been a depressing
day. But we knew this was, and we knew we were coming in, and we've given the folks a good opportunity to hop on the phone lines and let us know what you think, because I think every Browns fan, good, bad, indifferent, has probably had gone through the same emotions that all the callers have done today. We've all gone through this, and so We all understand it's Monday, and you know what? You're one win away from changing all of your fortune. So I think we've sat here for 13 years long enough to do these Browns Therapy Mondays to understand exactly how this is going.
You're like Captain Happy.
I'm not Captain Happy. I'm unbelievably frustrated over what we watched yesterday. But I also know from a Browns perspective, I mean, like, we all sit here on the outside and we all watch everything that's going on. And, you know, there are just some things that look so obvious to us. Run the ball, right? The whole world, run the ball.
Hey, your passing game's not real good.
We see it. We just wonder if they do. That's all. And I think this is your opportunity to just kind of say it. And again, I remind you that everyone that goes to work in Berea doesn't go, I hope we suck this week. Hope we're the worst football team in the NFL. No one's going to work out there to do that because they know how fragile their jobs are. I mean, we sit here and we've got folks that want to fire a two-time coach of the year. Okay, well, maybe. And then they showed that graphic of coach of the year. And they're like, oh, yeah, those other guys did get fired.
Vrabel and Dable.
Yeah.
Whoops. Cool Ray is in Bedford. Cool Ray, what are you baking today?
Cool Ray.
Nothing right now, but I'm about to bake this coach. I'm one of the ones that want to fire him. Getting my body.
Wow, did I tee you up and did you hit it deep?
What's the setting here? Do I need to preheat or no?
Man, you got to preheat this dude, man. Come on. We watched that game, and I know everybody's going to keep blaming Deshaun, but listen, 8 sacks, no time to throw the ball, no separation to receivers. Like, what is the person supposed to do? Like, real talk. You can't get nobody can do with this team. And I'm going to disagree with you, Baskins. You know, it is on the coach. It's definitely all on the coach.
Well, at the end of the day, it is on the coach. I'm not going to – I can't argue that point. It is. But I do know the coach didn't wake up today and go, man, I hope I lose, you know, 4/5 of my offensive line so we can go out and try to win a game. And I also know that Kevin throw a block before.
But you know what, though? It is Kevin's job to make sure those guys know how to throw blocks. It's Kevin's job to make that. Now, I was on Baker Mayfield the whole time he was here. I even named him Baker Manziel.
Right? Oh, we know. We know.
We've heard.
Look how great, look how good this guy has been playing when he away from Stepanski.
7 points against the inept Broncos yesterday.
Yeah, but he's 2-1. Easy. He's 2-1. I got your back on that one.
Cool Ray, he's been real competent. Let's not take it any further than that. And he was very good when he was with Stefanski here, when he was surrounded by good talent. He did a solid job here, too.
But at some point, fellas, we got to be honest. This team looks inept. This team doesn't look ready. To me, I've always said he's an eight coach. If the defense don't bring you up on the other seven games, we're not going to go anywhere. This guy is not ready. And it could just be him. Maybe it's got to be a chemistry issue. Maybe because of Deshaun Watson's off-the-field stuff, it's really just don't coincide with him or something. But whatever this is, we can't keep blaming just the talent. Sometimes it's the person driving the car, just making the car drive bad. It ain't the car.
All right, Cool Ray. Thank you, buddy. Cool Ray, a fabulous baker, by the way.
Have you had any of his?
Yes, so have you.
Oh, I have?
Mm-hmm.
What did I have?
Cheesecake.
Ah.
George is in Mentor. Hello, George.
George!
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up with you?
You tell us, George.
Well, Cool Ray was pretty much on point here.
Okay.
About Baker, but Andy, you brought up the salient question to Tavis. Oh, why didn't it work with Joe Flacco? What happened? Well, it worked with Joe Flacco if you want to brush aside Tavis's expertise answer, which was very good. Flacco is a winning quarterback who knows how to run a team on the field, a team that may be absent key players.
Jerk kicked butt in New York with those Jets. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
Jeff will always find the other stat. He'll always find the other stat.
Forgive me. Joe did a wonderful job here last year. He's not a great NFL quarterback. I don't know if he ever was.
Well, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, Jeff.
Congratulations. I wish I had that defense. I don't mean to knock Joe. He was wonderful here. It was a great story. But, George, this is much bigger than Joe Flacco stepping in.
103-82 is career record.
Well, it may be bigger now with Flacco gone and them without a quarterback. Look at what happened yesterday. It doesn't take expertise to realize that it just isn't there. The money he spent for him is not worth it. And Joe Flacco fell into their arms by accident. And what happened? Oh, Deshaun's coming back. We don't need you. Get the hell out. Whatever. It's really nice of them.
George, thank you.
Show business, not show friends.
Wonder if George has a brother in Kent.
113-88 if you include his postseason.
Anything else you'd like to prod?
I'm just giving you facts. That's all. They're facts.
You want him quarterbacking this team this year? You had to put Watson in there.
Let me ask you this. What if Deshaun's contract was up last year? Would you have been okay coming back with Flacco and maybe perhaps drafting a quarterback? Let's say his contract was up last year, end of the season.
Joe Flacco had a
That's not what I asked.
I wouldn't.
Oh,
Joe
okay.
Flacco had a magical run here. It was phenomenal. It was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a very, very nice job here. And threw plenty of interceptions, including a couple of nasty ones in a playoff game.
You know what?
I would not have made him the starting quarterback on this team if Deshaun Watson had announced his retirement.
If Deshaun Watson had announced his retirement, I would have brought Joe Flacco back as your starter, and I would have drafted a quarterback in the first round.
I had a first round pick. I'd prefer Jameis Winston to Joe Flacco.
Okay, I would have come back with that, with my answer. I would have come back with Flacco, and I would have drafted a quarterback in the first round.
Jay is in Erie, Pennsylvania, home of the Wonders. What's up, Jay?
Hi, Jay.
Genuine question. How does Joe come off the couch and just make it look so smooth and effortless? I'm not advocating for them to keep Joe Flacco, but I think it was kind of silly. The reason they didn't keep him is because all the fans have been cheering for him yesterday. But how does a guy come off the couch and make it look so easy and so effortless, throwing for 300 yards a game when Deshaun can't even throw for 200? Again, this isn't a knock on Deshaun, but I just don't understand how that can happen. Does anybody have any answer?
A little bit of a healthier lineup. You had your number two receiver. He had him. He had Njoku. I'm trying to say the same thing, Jay. I agree with you. Like, I don't know why was it so. He threw 300 yard games with no problem at all. And I know I'm getting huffing and puffing in this room because these guys don't agree with me, but I don't care. I'm just telling you that what we saw last year, when you look at the big picture of the Browns, was something special. And could he have repeated it? I don't know if he could have repeated it. I would have liked to have had that option going into the season, but this is where we are, and I knew that this would happen. I'm not shocked that people are calling about Flacco.
Let me give you this thought. And Jay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jay.
Real quick, this thought. Dan, I'm sorry. I'm going to go over by 30 seconds. Joe Flacco was very good here last year. He had a record of 4-1 in 5 starts. Deshaun Watson, in games that he played 5 full games. He was 4-1.
Jeff,
Walker was 1-1.
Give me a moment to retort then.
Okay, Dorian Thompson Robinson was 1-2. What this team was last year is better all around. That's what this team was last year. Better all around.